helping us, we'll turn to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, and the 8th verse. The book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, and the 8th verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This word before us this Sabbath morning is a word that should be an encouragement to all of God's redeemed people who have a hope in his mercy and have been taught of him. For Noah was a man of like passion as other men and had no claim before God in his own natural person that God should ever show a favour unto his never dying soul. And though he had to live in a very difficult time and in the history of mankind, the Lord dealt with him in such a measure that his faith failed not. And the thought occurred to me early this morning, but how near that great adversary of our soul did get to the complete conquest of God's realm in creation. There was but one man between the complete overthrow of the realm of humanity, God's fair creation, but one man and the fulfillment of God's holy truth to his created glory. And that man was Noah. Had it not been for Noah, there'd be no creation this day, be no man to follow on. But it was Noah. When the whole world was consumed, who by finding grace continued in the earth, and by whom the world was again rebuilt. And so we see the awful effects of the sinfulness of sin and the solemnity of God's dealing. But before we pass on to the subject, I feel it may be of a little profit to us to consider the leading and the teaching whereby we are brought unto this subject before us this Sabbath morning. To be quite honest with you, I must admit that I did speak of Noah at Leighton Heath last Sunday evening in that word in Hebrew whereby we read there, by faith Noah being warned of God. But as this word has been with me all through the week and is placed upon my heart and conscience, I feel that I must continue even this day in a different line of truth, but with the same person as our subject. Now let us notice in the first instance then the background of our subject. The dark cloud that seems to hover over the creation of God that was created in purity and holiness. To see just a little of the effects of sin and the sad consequence of sin and the root of sin whereby that sin works not only actually but spiritually amongst that creation of God. And we see the word is addressed unto the sons of God. You know, we may become very complacent sometimes on enchanted grounds, that to me has often proved a great danger. We live in a day of unity, in unions, committees, and management of people that bring a false sense of security unto the human heart by nature that works contrary unto God's redeeming grace. And this is one of the sad evils, spiritual, that besets human race at this present time. The castle of the human heart is guarded well in every part by him who dwells within. And that human heart is guarded by the natural man. And that natural man resorts to unity, unions of people, numbers, as a protection in a social order, which does in itself war against the Spirit of God and divine teaching. And so it was in the early creation of man that the sons of God, yes, not the sons of man, but the sons of God, yes, God's creation, the Spirit of God given to them, and they so solemnly fell that they chose their own way and not the Lord's way. Here is the thing. As the Apostle Paul speaks to us, according to lust, the will, and the will of the flesh and of the natural man. And so by nature does the heart of man work to choose not the things pleasing in the sight of God, but those things they chose that were pleasing unto themselves. Now I feel here that this is a negative encouragement, maybe, even in these sad days in which we're called to live. For in meditation during the past 2 days upon this subject, most solemnly, that we've had to pass through, I feel that we have reason, and not only natural reason, but the reason of God, as spoken in Isaiah, that some may be encouraged, that they have been enabled by the grace of God to choose those things pleasing in the sight of God. All my young friends here who are growing up into life, may you with prayer and supplication before a just and a holy God be helped to underline these words in the second verse, and may the Lord lead you in his truth and teaching. The solemnity of the hinge of this door before us, even this day, is beyond words to express. You on the threshold of life may be strong, full of energy. Yes, but my young friend, unless that energy is energized of God, it may lead you into years of sorrow, years of heart searching. But for the grace of God, you may feel the Lord must cut thee off for eternity. But my friend, if it is so, the Lord bless them. For I am sure of this, that Noah was a sinner in the sight of God, in his own heart. But you see, these people, they chose, and they chose themselves, and they went on their own way in complacency. The Spirit of God did strive with them. There was a solemn part, the Spirit of God strove with them. The Lord was teaching them, showing them the good and right way. But now we find that the Lord, having been striving with man, a different dispensation of his holy sovereign will was brought to bear on his creation. Not that God had changed or repented, as man repents of his deeds or his ways, but that having worn the flesh and having worn the people, they were brought to judgment. And that judgment was that the Spirit of God was taken from them. Oh, my friends, how solemn is this? That they were given away to complete satisfaction and complacency, settled in sin, in themselves, with no thought of God, and themselves being completely satisfied, and yet in the sight of God, in awful wickedness and rebellion against him. So the second part of the thought here is indeed extremely solemn. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Oh, how naturally we may strive against these people. And yet here we have the sad consequence of sin. The awfulness and deceitfulness of sin inwrought in the heart and conscience, and the sad and solemn effect thereon. And repent the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. Grieved him at his heart. No longer can man be allowed to continue in that awful way, but God must deal. And now God dealt. And was one in that history of mankind who was awakened and made alive to a solemn necessity of his soul. Yes, the Lord granted to him a realization, understanding of the sad and solemn conditions in which the realm of creation was found in his day. And so he sought grace. Thought the Lord might have compassion and have mercy upon him and his household, his never dying soul. He brought a prayer and supplication, awakened to the solemn state of his heart before God, if so be the Lord might have compassion and favour to his soul. And you all know the consequence. How the Lord instructed him to make an ark, a very foolish thing to do on dry ground. The Lord tried his heart to humble him, if so be he might indeed be given grace to be a fool for Christ's sake. It brings down the proud nature of the flesh within the heart, but that man of old wasn't able so to do, and it must have been for some time. The word of God doesn't tell us how long he was building the ark. Some have suggested presumptuously that Noah might have had some carpenters. But the word of God doesn't tell us so. There may have been 80 or 90 years elapsed in the building of the ark. For we find that from the days of Shem, Ham and Japheth being born to the entrance of the ark was over 100 years. So it could have been that Noah's building with his own hands and his sons with him for many a long year, that great ark that God had appointed for the salvation of his dear people. And not only Noah and his family, but every redeemed soul before us this day, who through the faith of Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. And now you see the Lord not only gave him salvation, but he gave him glory. There was a covenant. As I journeyed to yesterday afternoon feeling in my heart concerned, and I turned from Stevenage to go to Hartford, the sun had been shining lovely throughout the day, but over Hartford there was a cloud, and evidently there was rain, and there was a lovely bow. And how that took my heart once again, many times during the week has it been, to contemplate the covenant of God with the earth, in the solemn dispensation of his holy sovereign will and providence, never to flood the earth again, no, to be merciful unto humanity, that those sinners, the Lord should never again enter into that judgment, but to set his bow in the cloud, and the Lord said, regarding that bow, I myself will look upon the bow in the cloud and remember my covenant with the earth. It's not us looking at the bow, it's the Lord looking at the bow. The Lord will look at that bow, my friends, even in natural things, and remember his covenant with the earth. But this thought came to me, so I journeyed through Hartford. Oh, what a blessing if the Lord has granted in our hearts that greater covenant, that eternal witness, spiritual in our souls, that the covenant of God's redeeming grace is implanted therein, and we have a hope of life eternal. And it is with those two thoughts, as we've been led this way this Sabbath morning, that we will consider the text before us. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. First of all, then, we have understanding being enlightened. Noah was brought to know himself. And you know, there's no real salvation before a soul is brought to know himself. All God will teach us in the first instance to know ourselves, that we may know him, whom to know is life eternal. The whole need not a physician, but they that be sick. And God's dear people are made conscious of the sinfulness of their own hearts before God and the potential of wickedness that is in them by nature, that in them dwelleth no good thing by nature. No truth can they merit before God to claim before him one moment's notice of divine compassion, but through the gracious blessing of salvation they have hope of life eternal. Oh, how the Lord lays in his sanctuary the balances in the hearts of his dear people, the balances of truth in their conscience. Ye shall know the truth. And my friends, when God speaks that ye shall know the truth, ye shall know the truth. But that will not be proclaimed from our own natural heart. For my friends, he alone is the truth. His word speaks to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way, my friend, whereby our souls may ascend unto heaven and to heavenly places, and that through him who is the truth and the righteousness. But he'll make us know the truth. And the truth brings a consciousness of our indebtedness unto God. All the solemn balances of the sanctuary. When the Lord lays judgment to the plummet, and one realizes the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and there's in the balance sheet the asset and the debit, and my friends, there's always a debit balance in the hearts of God's people. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And God requires that which is past, all that awful debit in our hearts, our consciences before God. We cannot plead before him our own merit. But now, my friends, the Lord leads his people in a way, a just God, yes. And I believe there is no real sense of salvation before a sinner acknowledges the justice of God. I thought often what a wonderful statement that was from that woman of old when she said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Some but sent the lost sheep of the house of Israel. No hope there in the flesh. She couldn't claim she was a daughter of Abraham. No hope there. This was no door of hope. No. But he says there is hope for the soul. Lord, if I perceive just a few crumbs from off the master's table, sure there's hope there. The Lord trieth the righteous, and if you're one of his dear people, my friends, a true born sheep to life eternal, the Lord will try thy faith. He may have all the honour and glory, and you may be helped to say, none but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. My friends, to be found a helpless soul is a blessed place. He alone to be the rock of thy salvation, a friend who loveth at all times, in thy sinful sight. Yes, he hates the sin, my friends, but he loves the sinner. Ah, here we have a difference. He'll hate the sin within thee, those things offensive in thy most holy sight, but he loves the sinner. The sinner ordained to life eternal, only confess thy sin and thy transgression. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. My friends, Noah called upon the Lord while he may be found. Noah was on praying ground. Noah was alive unto God and conscious of God and his holy eye upon him. But he had to seek grace, the favour of God. No merit, but the grace of God that brings salvation. Seek ye the Lord and while he may be found. You're on praying ground, our young friends here. May the Lord bring us right home to your conscience, that without him you're lost and that for eternity. Whatever we may feel to be or seem to be, in ourselves our own wisdom. Oh, when the Lord begins to deal, my friends, in this way, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins of man. For the Lord searches our heart. He tries the reins. Give you just a little scope sometimes, and you see just what the potentials are in your own natural heart and where you'll be but for the fear of the Lord. You try your reins. The controls, the word means. The reins of man. Loosen you just a little sometimes, poor sinner. And where do you find yourself? In the world. In the flesh. And sin bringeth death to your conscience. Felt death. But if you're a living soul, you'll plead with him. With the psalmist, pardon my transgressions. Remember me for thy mercy, son. If thou, Lord, didst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Say, Lord, I have no standing room, but there is forgiveness with thee. He will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, my friends, abundantly. Not just one to say, yes, well, that will be all right. We will not think any more about that. No, abundantly, my friends, in righteousness. In justice. To all eternity. The law honours. The law fulfils. A God satisfied, a sinner saved. Abundantly pardoned. Only acknowledge. My friend, sin confessed before a just and a holy God, with a God-given repentance. And the fruit meet of repentance, which means a walk in accordance with the fruit of with the spirit of repentance, is accepted before God unto salvation. It is the Holy Spirit leading. May the Lord grant us his teaching. Noah found grace, the grace of understanding, discernment. The first grace that the Lord grants his dear people, an eternal favour from heaven, not thought of themselves, but given by the will of God in his eternal purposes, whereby a soul may be stocked, and that may seem a sad day to you. As it was with Job, the Lord looked narrowly into all his path. He put his thy feet in the stocks. I remember that at one time at Robertsbridge. And preaching from that subject, ah, my friends, would have to live through it. He looketh narrowly into all thy paths. My friends, when the Lord begins to search out the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, looks narrowly into all the paths, searches out your heart, feelings, the very motives and intents of thy conscience, and thy feet are put in the stocks, you cannot go forward until the Lord grants you grace, liberates your soul. But my friends, a blessed place, the place of God's dear people. Redeemed souls, and are brought to look off themselves, and are found looking unto Jesus. They say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He is able to save unto the uttermost, the poor soul says, but is he willing? Wait on the Lord, keep his way. Noah found grace, the grace to wait. And he had to wait a long time, just about 100 years. We may wait in the midst of God's judgment for a few weeks, it seems a long time, you know. A few days sometimes seems like a year. But he waited in the midst of God's judgment for well nigh 100 years, building the ark of God, doing the most foolish thing in the eyes and wisdom of man. But there he was, obedient, fruit meet of repentance. Faith without works is dead. But my friends, when the Lord prompts in the heart true and living faith and repentance, there is a work. A work of righteousness, and the soul flees for salvation. And it will flee unto him, not only for salvation, but for strength, my friend. And not only for strength, but for a witness that the Lord is thy God. And my friend, you can take no rest nor peace to your soul until the Spirit beareth witness with thy spirit. Ah, you want that sacred, holy witness with your soul, that the Lord is thy God. Spoken unto your heart with heaven's own power to your conscience. You want the quickened word, the powerful word. You cannot be content with a letter word, but my friends, it must be his word. His word to your soul. His truth to your conscience. His smile, his countenance. And then, my friend, the veil is taken away from the heart. When it shall turn to the Lord, bow down sense and reason, faith only dwell here. And when the Lord teaches a soul, it has to be by faith and not by sight, you know. Yes, found grace, grace of discernment then, both of our need and also of the Lord's gracious, holy repentance of the soul. And not only so, but the Lord's approbation to his supplication. We find eventually the ark was made, and when all was completed, the Lord dealt with them. Most graciously, the Lord dealt with them. For Noah not only found grace, Noah himself, and Noah saving God, but my friend, he knew a God that protected him. To life eternal. Oh, what a blessing, my friend, to be found amongst the Lord's dear people, who dwelleth not in temples made with hands, but in the hearts of his dear people unto life eternal. Is the one here who says, with them numbered may we be, now and in eternity. Like dear Ruth, who said, this people should be my people. I'm sure of that. We have no claim in ourselves. But my friends, there's your heart, there's your supplication, the Lord bless thee indeed then. Tokens of redeeming grace. The Lord help thee to cleave unto God's dear people, though he may not seem to be altogether like unto them. No, but one with them in heart, one in supplication, one in prayer, one also in hope. To find grace and not in discernment, but grace also to seek. You see, the word says found. And now even the young ones will know that you only find things we're looking for then. Our young children must look for things to find them, and my friends, there are many lambs in heaven who have been seeking grace in the days of their childhood and never grown to manhood or womanhood, who are now in heaven's high court singing his eternal praises. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings as thou perfect did praise. Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Will he turn thee away? I was brought into touch with one wonderful boy only a few Sundays ago. His mother said to me, can you go up and read with our little boy? He's in trouble through sin. He wants to be taken to the rock of salvation. He may know it's well with his soul for eternity. My friends, what a blessed case. I believe that little boy knew more than some do at 80 years of age. They're none too young. Oh, the enemy may say sometimes to your soul, you're too young, but you're not, my young friend. Some here young in years. I can witness in this very house of God where the Lord spoke to me when I was 7 years of age. Over one sinner that repenteth, a little sinner, yet a God-conscious sinner. A sinner brought in the sight of God to life eternal, my friend, and the Lord is able to save thee. May the Lord bless the children, the little ones, the young people. Suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not. God forbid that we should forbid them. A seeking soul, they that seek shall find. Yes. You'll not give vain repetition, it is not so, but seek the Lord while he may be found. None of us know how long the Lord hath ordained for us to live upon earth. God is the sovereign of life, my friend. None saith to him, what doest thou? So I do believe our very days and moments are ordered of him. God may take one early in years. It's his life, my friend. We must not charge God foolishly in his dealings. To be given the heart of Job, to yield it to God, all things. I've heard some of our fellow preachers even almost to charge God, as it were, as a murderer. Or I had one that struck my conscience sadly a few weeks ago, to do what I had to do. All the enemy in his heart against all the things of God because his parents had been taken from him early in years. Oh, my heart did yearn over him. The Lord might open his eyes, give him that discernment, my friends. He might see that good and gracious and holy God who never doth deal in unkindness with his dear creatures. No, the Lord is good to all. We only need eyes to see, my friend, heart to understand, and the grace of God in our souls, in his dealings, to own what he does best. But without the grace of God, left to ourselves, we shall rebel and kick. But by the grace of God that reigns over sin, and abounds over our sin, and all that we are by nature, then, my friend, the heart is brought to be found sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in a right mind. We need a right mind in God's dealings. To find grace to our older friends here, in the Lord's dealings. We may not have some things others may have. God may permit them to have or do. He may feel some resentment sometimes regarding those things. But when the grace of God that bringeth salvation triumphs, my friends, you'll have to say not one thing has failed. Indeed it has. Not one thing has failed of all the Lord God has promised unto his dear people. There's no imperfection in heaven, my friend, and praise is perfect. There's no murmuring there. No. So God's ways are just, his counsel's wise. In all his dealings with his dear people, And we need to find grace in his dealings. No one might have kicked. And says, this indeed the grievous thing? The Lord does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. No. He's right in all his ways, and holy in all his works. So grace then, not only to seek, but to find. To find by his teaching that good and gracious God, the goodness of God leadeth thee unto repentance. Now here we have a leading of the Lord. He'll lead them in his truth and teach them, the leading of the Spirit. And if you have a token, a mark of this in your heart, my friend, indeed you may be found, as here you are, with Noah of old. We may not be asked to do as Noah did, that seems such a foolish thing to have our faith tried to that great extent. No. But there will be in other ways the Lord will try the faith of his dear people. There'll be some things you'll have to do in life that with your reason and flesh will seem so unusual, so out of order with natural wisdom. You'll have to walk by faith in many things. There may be small things sometimes in your natural life, your spiritual exercise of soul, they may seem such peculiar things, such a peculiar path you have to walk. Yes, but my friend, it's the Lord's way. My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. How Moses sought the Lord in that way ordained for him. Couldn't take a step, you know, until the Lord gave him a word. And so will you be. You may remain the same place, the same field, all your life, so you have to walk about. So to walk up and down in the Lord. You have to take some steps in your exercise of soul before God. Steps of his ordinances, and other ways of life. And you'll be a waiting soul, a seeking soul. So when your help to say, hitherto, hath the Lord helped us. To be helped to look back over life in your ways and find grace. To look back over life and say, Lord, thou hast been our help. Yes, the Lord the help of his dear people. Even unto life eternal, thou are seeking souls and thou help souls too. Indeed they are, by the grace of God. And not only so, he may go on to say that Noah found salvation. He needed to be saved. And yet you see, things went on just the same in the earth. Here's a solemn part of it. And that only brought the heart of man by nature a feeling of complacency, self-satisfaction. As if God had forgotten his judgment. And things were going on just the same as if the danger had passed and there they'd carry on just as they like. Now this is the danger we're in these present days. The Lord is speaking, he has spoken. And I wonder just what the lay is in store sometimes for us as a nation. Seems if we're going on the downward path in many ways. But may our hearts be awakened to the solemn danger of spirituals that abound in these days. The solemn rest and refuges of lies in the world without. Oh, where the hearts of our young people in the world are sort of secured in a natural way. As if the element of their souls could depend on their own natural acumen in education or other things in passing of tests in life to bring their hearts to heaven. My friends, what a solemn and a sad deception. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All when the Lord teaches his people. And you know, it hurts us indeed in our hearts sometimes to realise amongst our fellow creatures, good people with natural graces. Some seem to outshine in natural gifts and graces. Those are the hope in God's truth and his redemption. Yes, the mouth and their eyes are not open, their hearts are not awakened unto their sad case and need before God, they're completely satisfied. God has set the world in their hearts, they should not seek him. Oh, may the Lord turn again unto us the nation. May he awaken that living, vital godliness that was so made known and revealed to us in the days of Puritans, the gracious Reformation of old. May the Lord cleanse and pardon, and bring in sinners to the eternal glory of his great and holy name. But all may the Lord's people be as a sort of the earth. A solemn responsibility we have in these things, salvation. There, my friends, to know salvation, there must be the sort of the earth, a savour of God's redeeming grace. As a leaven, the leaven is the whole lump. You see, when the bread was made, unless the leaven leavened the whole lump, it did not rise. And so it is with the Lord's dear people. The leaven must leaven our whole lives, my friends. Ye are the salt of the earth. But Noah found grace then in the eyes of the Lord to continue in faith. The first effect then is faith. The faith of God's elect that moves them in divine principles to seek salvation. And as their feet are moved, move to his sanctuary, his house. Ah, how you find a great alertness on a Sabbath morning sometimes of seeking for a blessing. How your heart is prepared of God by his divine providential dealings. God's providence is, as it were, his workshop, whereby God deals with dear people and prepares their hearts for his holy word and gospel truth. But now, my friends, another thought comes here before we close, and that is this. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in faith, not only in word, but in work. He was a preacher of righteousness. And then a thought came to me during the week that Noah preached more with his hands than he did with his lips. I believe that those planks of gopher wood from day to day preached a more solemn sermon amongst his fellow creatures than many words he may have spoken to their natural ears. Now you here who are exercised by the grace of God to salvation, some may not be appointed to speak in his name, but all are his servants. Ye are the salt of the earth. My friend, is your work an ark of God? Are your works from day to day a witness to the God of heaven? Are you preaching by the grace of God as Noah did, a preacher of righteousness? May the Lord help us. My friends, we are sinners, impotent, unworthy, infirm sinners. May the Lord appear, revive us again, a preacher of righteousness. And by those things, you see, God was justified. God was justified before that world. And by God's dear people, in these days, God will be justified if they are the salt of the earth. And poor sinners brought to seek salvation. And like God the Isaiah, they may be helped to seek the Lord while he may be found. Ah, maybe they may be sick. And they may feel themselves undone and unworthy. Yet they do, they are brought to know him. And that by the blessing of God, of the Lord's people, a work of righteousness, they begin to know their master, and the ash is master's crib. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. For the poor man says, my hurt is grievous, my wound is incurable. Yes, he thought it so within himself, but it ought to do with himself. the Muslim when the Lord appears. To his heart and conscience, say, come now, let us reason together. A gracious reasoning between heaven and earth. A God of salvation, the never dying souls of his dear people, redeemed to life eternal. Who can tell? You, as by the grace of God, are enabled. A preacher of righteousness may be in your daily work, as you live your life before your fellow creatures, or may the work be so ordained of God, by his strength and righteousness, that you may be a sacred witness before the world, the salvation of the souls of God's dear people, not in our own strength, all my things left to ourselves with no good thing. Our sufficiency must be of him. Trust in him at all times, ye people. You have a solemn responsibility, though it seeks by the grace of God to bring home to your soul. In these last days and perilous times, we cannot shut ourselves up to ourselves. God shut Noah in, yes, indeed he did. But he had to be a preacher of righteousness in his days. And while by the grace of God you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, my friends, may the Lord grant us the source of the earth, that we may by so doing bring home the truth, the consciences of some of our fellow creatures. Oh, how to all eternity the sight of that ark must be in the eyes of those lost to eternity. How that man Noah of old must in their vision, in that vision that is given them, as they pass from time into eternity, when all things are known, the heart of every soul and the spirit returns to God who gave it, that solemn vision for eternity, of that poor, ridiculed, mocked man in their own eyes who found grace in the sight of God, singing God's eternal praises and they themselves eternal perdition. All may the Lord grant us his grace to work out salvation with fear and trembling. My friends, that's the ark. It's not an ark of wood. No, it's the salvation of your soul. As Noah did by fear and trembling. Every man's soul before God, all here this Sabbath morning, it was all up here before God, from the oldest to the youngest. We're journeying on year by year, my friends, and all vanities done away with eventually. In that time ordained of God, we must meet a just and a holy God. What then? To find grace in the eyes of the Lord, while my kind Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, is he instead of me is seen when I approach to God, and my friend has been granted that in life with your eternity. To know your conversation in heaven, to know the gracious sweet and effect of God's saving grace to your heart, of God to find grace through the man, to your never dying soul to be received in him, the Lord won't deny thee for eternity portion. We can't go to eternity in the generality of religion. We can't go there a company of people, but every man for himself. It's particular redemption, my friends. We may have all our friends around us, but it's our soul and God. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. May the Lord bless thee indeed in these things. And you find as you journey on through life that the eyes of the Lord upon you for good. You may be helped to say, the Lord hath been mindful of us. Amen.
Thank you.